the evidence of disobedience. And we mentioned last Sunday morning that in contrast, Isaac, in contrast, gives us the picture of obedience. Son of obedience, the fruit of obedience. Ishmael is the fruit of disobedience. So this evening I'd like to look at the issue of obedience. The spirit of obedience from the life of Isaac. And study his life and know what are some principles that are evident in the heart and life of a person that has a spirit of obedience, a willingness to obey. Genesis chapter 22, let's read verses 1 and 2. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Let's bow for prayer. O God, once again, we're thankful for the opportunity to worship you. We pray, O Spirit of God, that you would lead us and that you would guide us into truth and understanding and cause us to be an obedient people. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Isaac was not only obedient, he, I believe, had the spirit of obedience. It's one thing to obey, i.e., just in case you could possibly get caught for not obeying. It's another thing to have a spirit of obedience, a heart that really desires to obey. And that was evident in the life of Isaac. He had a spirit of obedience. The Easter long weekend is fast approaching, and as you and I well know, that double demerit points. And what that will do to some, it will cause them to be more careful simply because they just don't want to be caught. So the issue for them is, I just don't want to be caught. But for a person that has the spirit of obedience, really it makes no difference. Whether it's double demerit points next weekend or triple demerit points, it really makes no difference because our spirit is we will obey the road rules. So there's a vast difference, is there not? And I believe that as we study the life of Isaac, we see the spirit of obedience. Now, in studying Genesis chapter 22, we tend to focus upon Abraham, and rightfully so. And when you read passages in the New Testament, such as within the book of James, it makes reference to the great faith of Abraham and this event of Abraham sacrificing his son Isaac. The focus is mainly upon Abraham. And that's not wrong in itself. It's right, and that's what God has chosen to focus upon. But I'd like to talk about the underdog tonight, Isaac. The one that was quietly obedient and made Abraham famous for what Abraham was prepared to do. Because without Isaac having a spirit of obedience, we would not have this great event recorded in the pages of Scripture as we do today. Because Isaac had a spirit of obedience. We note in verse number 1 that God calls Abraham personally. And he called him by name, Abraham. And Abraham responded in verse number 1, "Here I am." So we see within the life of Abraham a spirit of surrender, and we in time past have focused upon principles of surrender from the life of Abraham. But at the same time, let's take note. Let's consider Isaac this evening. Let's see if we can note some principles of obedience and how you and I can have a spirit of obedience as opposed to just obeying because I don't want to be caught. There's a vast difference between that sort of an attitude as opposed to I will have a spirit of obedience. In verse number 2, Abraham said to Isaac, "Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, and get thee into the land of Moriah," which is Jerusalem today, Mount Moriah. Bear in mind that Abraham was living in Beersheba, down south, and this is a three-day journey up to Mount Moriah. And God said to Abraham, "I want you to take your son, your only son, whom you love, and I want you to offer him as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of." And within this step of faith and within this mark of surrender within the life of Abraham, we see Isaac reflecting a spirit of obedience. And the first principle I'd like for us to note from the life of Isaac concerning a spirit of obedience and how we can maintain a spirit of obedience is that Isaac was under authority. He understood that he was under authority. God addressed Abraham, did he not? God did not say, "Abraham, Isaac." No, God addressed Abraham, father, and son, being under his authority, obeyed his father. And if you and I are to have a spirit of obedience, it begins with you and I understanding that we are not lone rangers, that we are all under authority. We are all under, ultimately, God's authority. And we understand that there is delegated authority, and all of that delegated authority is ultimately under God. And to rebel against delegated authority means I shake my fist at God. So if I am to have a spirit of obedience, it begins with you and I, like Isaac of old, that we understand that we are under authority. We are not lone rangers, so to speak. Our own authority. No, we are all under authority. I'm under authority. You are under authority. We understand that. And that does do something to us, does it not? That we jump in our cars and we drive freely within our city, but yet we subconsciously we understand that we are under authority. And a reminder of that authority are these gentlemen dressed in blue that have white cars with blue colouring on the outside. And that reminds us that we are under authority. And that should cultivate within us a spirit of obedience. See, Isaac understood that I am under authority. And if you and I are to have a spirit of obedience, not just obeying because we don't want to be caught, we understand that we are all under authority. We are all under authority. And we need to respect that and honor that. And if you look at verse number 2, the Bible tells us that God told Abraham that he was to offer his son, the one that he loved, as a burnt offering unto God. Now, the second principle I'd like for us to note is that Isaac gives us the evidence of one that has a spirit of obedience, because Isaac is obedient even though he doesn't fully understand or know the extent of the obedience that he's called upon to fulfill. Now, how do we know that? Well, as we read on, he will ask his father, "Father, where is the sacrifice?" So that tells me that Abraham wisely held back from his son the full extent of obedience in this situation. And if you and I have a spirit of obedience, we will not only remain under authority, principle number one, we will understand that I am under authority, I am not my own God. But secondly, we understand that obedience, that God in His time will fully reveal to us the extent of what He calls us to do. See, Isaac is obedient even though he doesn't fully understand or know the full extent of what's going to happen. And I could just imagine Abraham said to Isaac, son, let's go. We're going for a bit of a journey. It's going to be a life-changing journey. You'll never forget this experience, son. Let's go. And Isaac might have scratched his little head and said to himself in his little mind, now what's all this about? But because he had a spirit of obedience, yes, Dad, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. That's the spirit of obedience. Isaac was obedient, but even though he didn't fully understand or know the full extent of what was about to happen, he obeyed. That's a spirit of obedience. And note then, verse number 2, the Bible teaches us that they were on a journey, and God said to Abraham that you're going to offer your son as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains. God did not reveal to him which mountain, but God said to Abraham, I will tell you in due course the exact place in which you will sacrifice your son. And the third lesson I'd like for us to note is this, that from the life of Abraham, not only was, from the life of Isaac, Isaac was not only one that understood that he was under authority, and Isaac was obedient even though he didn't fully understand the full extent of what was going to happen. Father said, let's go, son. And Isaac said, okay, Dad, you lead. Let's go. I'm here to obey. But I'd like for us to note thirdly this evening from the life of Isaac is that obedience is a journey. It's not a once-off event. It's a journey. And if you and I are to obey, then obedience is in the continual sense. It's not just something that you do and that's the end of that. No, it's a journey. And as Isaac followed his father in obedience, remaining under his authority, they journeyed, the Bible teaches us, for 3 days. So a person that has the spirit of obedience understands that the word obedience is in the continual tense. It is not a once and for all, let's get this over and done with, I will obey, and that's the end of that. No, it is something that is ongoing and it is continual. A spirit of obedience does not have the spirit, well, thank God I've done that, I've obeyed that rule, and thank God that's over and done with. That's not the attitude of a person that has the spirit of obedience. But they understand, a person that has a spirit of obedience, like Isaac, they understand this is a journey. This is not just a destination. This is not just a once-off, off-the-cuff fulfillment of something I was told to do. No, this is a journey. This is a journey. And off that little principle, I'd like for us to also note that obedience is, it's not only continual. A person that has a spirit of obedience, their heart is, I'm going to obey, I'm going to obey, I'm going to obey each step of the way. And I have no doubt in my mind, as Abraham and Isaac made their way to that place of sacrifice, that Isaac had a spirit of obedience along the way. And many of God's people lack that. They pick and choose when they will obey. Talk to me. We pick and choose when we will obey. That's not the spirit of obedience. A spirit of obedience would say, obedience is a journey, it is continual, and with each step, my heart is here to obey. And may I say fourthly this evening that obedience is in the plural sense. In time past, I made reference to the fact that sin is always plural. When we commit one sin, from that sin will come other sins. Nobody ever sins singular. It's always plural. That's how it works. And a person that has a spirit of obedience, it won't just be in one area, it will be in a number of areas. It's in the plural sense. And we see this with Isaac as he obeys his father, and he travels with his father, and then the father eventually said to the servants, you men wait here, I and my son will go yonder and worship. We see obedience, and we see that Isaac was prepared to pay those installments of obedience each step of the way, even though he didn't fully understand what's going on here. And no doubt by this stage, there they are, dad and son making their way up to somewhere to offer a sacrifice, and he's beginning to scratch his head and wondering, where's the sacrifice? But Isaac, because he had a spirit of obedience, he just continued to remain under authority. In verse number 5 it reads, that Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. So they've traveled for some 3 days, and Abraham finally gets to that point where God has led him, and he tells the servants, you remain behind, I and the son will go yonder and worship. And note there in verse number 5 that Abraham made reference to I and the lad. I and the lad. See, your obedience, a person that has a spirit of obedience will complement others that have a spirit of obedience. See, as Abraham obeyed God and he was willing to sacrifice his son, Isaac was prepared to obey God by obeying his father. So he complemented the obedience of another. And may I submit to you and I, if you have a spirit of obedience, you will complement others walking in obedience. For example, within your family unit, as you and I have a spirit of obedience within the family unit, that will complement the rest of the family as they walk in obedience. But if you choose not to have a spirit of obedience within your family unit, that's going to work against the obedience of the rest of the family. And what does that lead to? Disunity, friction, issues. And it's no different within the church. See, if you're dragging your feet and you determine you will not have a spirit of obedience within our church, then you are dragging the rest of us down. But that wasn't Isaac's spirit. Abraham obeyed. He was willing to obey and didn't question. We don't read any questioning, an ounce of questioning God who gave him this son. No questioning. He obeyed. And yet he bred a son in Isaac that had that same spirit of obedience and complemented the obedience of his father. How can two walk together except they be agreed? And then in verse number 5, we note there that Abraham said to the servants that I and the lad will go yonder and what? Worship. This is the first mention of worship in the Bible. And we have said in time past, how can there be true worship if there is not surrender of the heart? How can we say that we worship God and yet our hearts are not fully surrendered? But may I submit to you as well this evening, how can we say that we truly worship God without a spirit of obedience? An unwillingness to obey. Can disobedience and worship coexist, yes or no? Oh, you're very intelligent people. You've worked that one out. Very good. They can't coexist, can they? So we see here that Abraham said to the servants, I am the lad, my young boy, the lad will go yonder and worship. And Isaac, by having a spirit of obedience, reflected that spirit that is necessary for you and I to worship God in spirit and in truth. The whole point of the book of Malachi is that God's people, the nation of Israel, went through all the motions of sacrifice and offerings, and yet God said to them, you are not worshipping me from your heart. You're just going through the motions. There is not a spirit of wanting to please me, God said. And I'm afraid that we as the people of God can be just as guilty of just going through the motions, yes, going through the motions, being in church because that's what you do, and yes, reading your proverb for the day because yes, that's what we do around here, and going to soul winning because yes, that's what we do, otherwise pastor gives us a hard time, as opposed to I love my God, I want to worship my God, and because I love my God, I want to worship my God, my heart is surrendered to God. If my heart is surrendered to God, then I will be obedient to God. And that's what we see in Isaac. A spirit of obedience. This enabled him to worship. Because Abraham said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. He didn't say, I'm going to worship. And Isaac will just be a bystander. Did he? No. He said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. So whatever was destined for Isaac was a means of worship. Isaac's part was obedience. Abraham's part was surrender. A spirit of obedience. Verse number 6. The Bible teaches us, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand, a lit torch, and a knife, and they went both of them together. Together. The end of verse number 8, please, it reads, so they went both of them together. That's a spirit of obedience. Isaac didn't sort of lag behind. The question was asked, Dad, we've got the wood and we've got the fire. Where's the sacrifice? Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And God said in verse 8, God will provide himself a lamb. Does Isaac question? No. Does he lag behind? Say, now, Dad, now come on, now we're getting a bit heavy now. What's going on? I just need to have a seat and just think about this for a moment. I've obeyed you for the last 3 days, and here we are, and something not making sense right here. I just need to think about this. Was that his spirit? No. They went together. And my friend, if you and I really have a spirit of obedience, then you will be a team player. You will have a team spirit. See, many lack a team spirit because they do not have a spirit of obedience. And when you and I do not have a spirit of obedience, then we will not work together for the glory of God. But when a spirit of obedience reigns in your heart, then you will cooperate and you will be prepared to work together, whether it be in the home or whether it be in the church. If your spirit is, I'm going to obey, I'm under authority, and I'm going to obey those authorities in my life, that individual has the potential of working with others. And that was evident in the life of Isaac. We don't read that Isaac gives his father any strife, doesn't object, just simply obeys. If you go back to verse 7 and 8, as I've already mentioned, Isaac spake unto Abraham and his father and said, my father. He's very, very respectful. And he said, here I am, my son. And Isaac said, behold, I can see the fire, I see the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Dad, where's the offering? Where's the lamb? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a burnt offering. And my point is this, that for you and I to have a spirit of obedience, to obey doesn't mean that you and I can't appeal or seek clarity. There's nothing wrong with seeking clarity, with appealing, with the right spirit. Did Isaac have a right spirit? And that was evident by how he addressed his father. He said, my father. And he waited for his father to respond to him. Yes, son. And he simply asked the question, a very good question, very logical. See, Isaac wasn't just exercising blind fellowship. He was an intelligent young boy. He knew that fire, wood, and sacrifice equal a burnt offering.
He noted the wood, he noted the fire, but where's the sacrifice? Thinking. Dad, where's the sacrifice? So he appeals. And a spirit of obedience does not mean that you and I cannot appeal, cannot seek clarity, and yet still have a spirit of obedience. So parents, be careful of those moments when your child appeals in a very respectful manner. Don't take it personally. If they do so rightfully, you need to honour that and heed their appeal. There might be some reason. There might be a reason for their appeal. And certainly Isaac had his reason, but God records for us in the Word of God that Abraham said to his son, God will provide himself a lamb. And we see that because Isaac had a spirit of obedience, he was prepared to accept that. God will provide himself a lamb. Okay, Dad, we've got the fire, we've got the wood, where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice? So Dad turns around and said, don't worry, son, God will provide a offering. Isaac accepts that by faith. And that's my next point. A spirit of obedience encompasses faith. Encompasses faith. Obedience involves faith. God will provide. And when you and I have a spirit of obedience, we understand that we are under authority, we are obeying God, this is a journey. I might not understand all the details, but I'm going to trust God. But when we disobey, what do we reflect? I'm going to take matters into what? My own hands. Am I right or not? But when you and I remain under authority and we honour those authorities within our lives, And God tells us, don't worry, son, God will provide a sacrifice. I know we don't have one at the moment, but God will provide. Then we, by faith, obey because we have a spirit of obedience. Then the Bible goes on to read in verse number 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son. And could you imagine what's going through Isaac's mind? Dad had just told me that God's going to provide a sacrifice. My father is placing me on the altar. And laid him on the altar upon the wood, the Bible teaches us. And verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took a knife to slay his son. Now what's Isaac thinking now? What's he thinking? I don't know what he was thinking, but I can assure you, I believe he had a spirit of obedience. Now, he might have just twitched just a pinch, but I don't believe that he tried to run away. I believe that he had the faith to believe and trust his father. He said that God will provide a lamb. God will provide a lamb. And he knew literally that he wasn't a lamb, he was a son. He was a boy. But yet here's this knife in my location. But he by faith had the spirit of obedience and he remained in his place. And there in verse number 11, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. God intervened, as Abraham was in tune with his God. And may I say, it's so critically important for those of us that are in leadership, for those of us that have others under our leadership that are wanting to obey, it's so critically important that you and I are sensitive to God's leadership, God's direction. Abraham was. And verse 12 goes on to read, and he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, but only son from me." So God commended the faith of Abraham, the surrender of Abraham. God doesn't commend the obedience of Isaac. Why? Well, he was under authority. He had a spirit of obedience. God didn't need to commend Isaac. He commended the father. And Isaac was under that authority. And then in verse 13, the Bible reads, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram, a male, sheep caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son." So God answered his request. Abraham said to Isaac, "God will provide a lamb," and God did provide. And last but not least, look at verse number 14. "And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." And the last point I'd like to make is this concerning a spirit of obedience. When you and I have a spirit of obedience and we reflect a spirit of obedience, then God will be known. God will be evident within our lives. God will provide. God will provide for those that have a spirit of obedience. Isaac believed that God will provide. Through his father, God said, "I will provide a lamb," and God did exactly that. So one that has a spirit of obedience and they walk by faith, they will see God provide. And they will see the hand of God upon their life. Because as it reads at the end of verse number 14, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." So as we live a life of obedience to the Lord God, God will provide our needs and God will manifest His power, manifest His presence within our lives. It shall be seen. So I'd like to encourage you this evening to have a spirit of obedience. Don't just obey because you don't want to be caught. Obey because to obey is better than sacrifice. The Lord Jesus was willing to be obedient unto the cross, the death of the cross. And may you and I follow His examples and not just obey because, as I said, I don't want to be caught, I don't want to get hurt. No, I will obey because it's right to obey my God. Because I am under authority. And Isaac understood that very fact. He understood that he was under authority. And yes, we can focus upon Abraham and his life of surrender. And that is very evident within this event. But don't forget Isaac. A man, a young man that had a spirit of obedience. Do you have a spirit of obedience? Or do you just obey because you don't want to be caught? Children, do you obey the rules within a household because you just don't want to be caught? Be sure your sin will find you out. But may God help us to have a spirit of obedience. And it begins by understanding the very fact that we are all under authority. We are under authority. God addressed Abraham. And God said to Abraham, you take your son. God didn't say, now Isaac, would you like to go with your father? I've got a little mission for you. No. Abraham worked through authority. Children, teenagers, God works through your authority. God doesn't negate authority structures. God has His authority structures. God works through authority structures. And if you have a spirit of obedience, then you will say, yes, I am under authority, ultimately God's authority. From that basis, you can cultivate a spirit of obedience. Not just obey, because you don't want to be caught, but a spirit of obedience. That was evident in the life of Isaac. I trust and pray that's in your heart. That you obey because you have a spirit that wants to please God, as opposed to, I just don't want to be caught. I don't want to be caught this weekend, double demerit points, can't afford it. Both ways. Wrong. Wrong attitude. You deserve to be caught. Amen. You deserve double demerit points and a whopping big fine because your spirit is not right. We need people of God today that have a spirit of obedience, like Isaac of old. Let's bow for prayer. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. A spirit of obedience. May God cultivate within each of our hearts a spirit of obedience. Let's have our pianist just play quietly in the background a hymn. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Let's have some prayer.